Our Lenten series is based on the Gospel of St. Luke. Our text for this evening is Luke 22, 21 through 38. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest and the leader as one who serves. For who is greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. And he said to them, when I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything? They said nothing. He said to them, now let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack, and let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. For what is written about me has its fulfillment. And they said, look, Lord, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It can be said that Satan the foe is also Satan the fool. There's a certain kind of stupidity with evil and sin. We see it here again in our text tonight from Luke 22. The apostles show an incredible blindness to their own folly. Their folly gives us an opportunity to examine and then to turn away from sin's disastrous stupidity, which is our theme this evening. My fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus, at this crucial time in his ministry, Jesus lays out for them God's wisdom and the plan that he must fulfill, which is our first point. Jesus lays it out in the open for them to see and hopefully to comprehend. You would think that they would get it. It should have been plain to see. Often the truth about us and our sins against others are hard for us to see and confess. Jesus says in our text, behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with me on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that man through whom he is betrayed. Jesus lays out what could be called the standard of greatness. It is determined not by might and power, but it is determined by servanthood alone. Jesus demonstrates that to us by his willingness to serve others. The ultimate act of his servanthood is his willingness to lay down his life. Jesus had said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And then he says in verse 27 of our text, for who is greater, the one who reclines at table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as one who serves. The disciples had that wondrous hope laid out before them because of what Jesus would accomplish for them through his suffering and bloody death upon the cross and his glorious Easter resurrection. Their future was filled with promise, not because of anything that they would do, but solely because of what Jesus had done for them. However, their earthly future would be filled with much danger and trouble, and it would begin very soon. Jesus would be taken captive. Peter would deny Jesus three times. Jesus would be put on trial, convicted, and would be put to death by crucifixion on a cross. They would be huddled in fear that first Easter evening. They would face persecution, and many of them would be put to death for their confession of Christ Jesus. We are no different. Jesus told us that we might experience similar things during our lifetime. For he said, remember the word that I said to you. A slave is not above his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Thankfully, we know how the story ends. We just don't know all the details between now and then. He tells us to live out our lives in humble service. And remember that humble service is directed toward others, toward our neighbor, not toward God. He doesn't need our works. Our neighbor does. And we do it knowing that we have a certain hope laid out before us. The Apostle Paul wrote, and hope does not disappoint us because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We also know and take comfort in the fact that we have a heavenly inheritance which awaits us. The Bible says to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. We know that we have a glorious future because of what Jesus has done for us. Jesus put it this way, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, we have no promise to an easy earthly life as we faithfully confess and follow Jesus. We walk in danger all the way, because we find ourselves living in the midst of sin's disastrous stupidity. In all of his teaching, Jesus is directing his followers outside of themselves. He points them and us, first of all, to himself as the one who came to serve. He urges us not to trust in our own powers or might, or to think too highly of our own abilities. And they then, and sometimes we now, we just don't get it. Sin's disastrous stupidity blinds them. Secondly, all the apostles do is look at themselves. Navel gazing always has disastrous results. It did for the apostles. It does for us as well. The apostles had been with Jesus. Jesus had personally taught them and led them around for 3 years. But their sinful focus, as we see in the text, is to look at themselves and then to compare themselves with others. Verse 23 says, "And they began to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who is going to do this thing, namely to betray Jesus." And the debate begins. And you can about imagine what that discussion must have been like. Everyone pointing the finger at someone else or bragging about the fact that they would never, ever, ever do that. And while that debate didn't last long, then it moves on to something else. See how bad navel-gazing can be? And there also arose a dispute among them as to which of them was regarded to be greatest. It is unbelievable. Instead of showing humility by humble service, all they want to do is toot their own horns. And that can be an easy trap to fall into. And then the focus turns a little while to Simon Peter, who seems to think that he can stand on his own 2 feet. And he said to Jesus, "Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death." But how quickly he denied Jesus in the courtyard. I think there are times we can identify with the disciples and with Peter, because, you know, we too can make comparisons. By nature, if we're not careful, we're soon judging others. But then we can react in a very negative way when the law of God points out our sin, points out the fact that our lives are not perfect. And it can be so easy to judge instead of being involved in humble service, in reaching out in love and compassion to those in the body of Christ who may be hurting. We can see the faults of others, but it's hard to recognize our own. Scripture reminds us, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. In the midst of all of that, we're directed to only one person, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. As we meet Jesus in the Holy Absolution, as we meet Jesus in a daily return to our baptism, when we meet Jesus in the Lord's Supper when it is offered, we receive what we need. And I should ask the confirmation kids to answer this question, because we just covered it. And what do we always need but the forgiveness of our sins? God's word says, "For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." It was for that very reason that Jesus came into this world. Paul reminds us of what Jesus has done. It says, "God made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." We are brought to Jesus for that which only he can impart. It is by faith that we receive that forgiveness and the newness of life which comes from him. The Bible says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us." What utter folly is shown in sin's disastrous stupidity. Daily our eyes and our hearts need to be opened. Our gaze needs to be redirected from our sinful selves to our Savior Jesus alone. Where sin increased, grace more than increased. And so we look, not at ourselves, but we look to Christ Jesus, the innocent one, who fulfilled the scripture that he must be numbered amongst the lawless, amongst the transgressors, counted as if he were one of us. We look to Jesus, the Master, the one who alone is worthy to recline as the host at God's great feast, yet who is among us as the one who serves. In Jesus' name and completed work of redemption. Amen.